When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we have been dusting off old communist era Vladimir Lenin quotes to deal with what has been happening, particularly in the Serie A lately. This is Tariq joining you along with our very special Serie A correspondent doing two Serie A episodes in a row from London. It's Karan.
That must be a record in its own right.
So yes, we don't pay as much attention to the Serie A as we should, but this week we shall, because as the very famous Lenin quote goes, that, you know, there are sometimes decades in which nothing happens, and then there are weeks in which decades happen. This last weekend in the Serie A definitely qualifies that way. But before we go there, Karan, speaking of matters a little closer to you, in the sense that it is very much in London, happened in London and to a London team. Mm-hmm. Crystal Palace 1, Manchester City 0 at Wembley for their first ever piece of silverware. Well, major silverware anyway, the FA Cup. Obviously, Palace fans very happy. I had texted a friend in London who's a born and brought up Palace fan. You know, grew up a couple of miles from Selhurst Park. He was telling me that as a kid, they used to be able to hear the crowd at Selhurst Park on match days. Well, that was over 40 years ago when he first started going to the matches. And this week he was able to celebrate a trophy. So, Karan, quick thoughts on Crystal Palace as a team. They've been very, very interesting in the Premier League in general, have always been a team that have been part of the conversation one way or another, made some great runs both in the table and in cup competition, somehow always fell short. Finally, it was poetic, it was beautiful that this is the day when a lot of lifelong Palace fans get to see the team finally win some silverware.
Yeah, I think it's these are the reasons why we love football, right? I mean, stories like this is what we kind of live for as football fans, except when it happens against our own teams. But that's a different story. But I think it's an absolutely phenomenal achievement. There's no doubts about it. I think I shared a video with you guys of an interview of a very senior Crystal Palace fan where he says, I thought that I was going to die without ever experiencing something like this. I think it's these are the kind of stories that really kind of showcase the purity of the game. I know there's so much, you know, hullabaloo about the game these days with all the controversies and the financial implications, etc. But at its very core, I think this is what football is always going to be about. And I think Crystal Palace completely personify that feeling that we all fell in love with football for a reason.
And if you think about Palace, especially this season, you have to think about the fact that theirs is not the fattest wage bill in the Premier
close.
League. They are a team that definitely punches above their weight in terms of the kind of players that they have. I think their goal scorer, Eze, is the one who probably personifies this spirit. Yes, he's just about 26, but he's somebody who has been through the grind quite a lot. Pretty much a very young journeyman at this point, because I think he's like had like four different clubs from where he's gone in and out of contracts to come back and settle at Crystal Palace. And of course, another reason why Soccer Sense has a little bit of a soft spot for Crystal Palace is also because there used to be a certain Roy Hodgson around it once, and of course we had the very famous slash infamous Alan Pardew dance in the 2016 FA Cup final when they came very close, but it ended in heartbreak. They had taken the lead. Pardew was putting all the dads in the UK to shame with his touchline dance, but unfortunately, that performance of a lifetime, and I'm talking about Alan Pardew, ultimately came down to nothing because United managed to equalize and then, of course, scored the winner in extra time. But not this time. Manchester City, well, not only could not score, they had a penalty given against them and they could not convert. Dean Henderson, another great story, another of the great heroes, was the one who denied that opportunity with a rather great, great save. So, I mean, you can imagine that Manchester City took 23 shots at goal, Karan. Palace only 7. Manchester City's expected goals are 2.23. Palace's was 0.74. And yet it is Palace who win 1-0. And as you say, these are the kind of games where we at Soccer Sense are not really looking for sense any longer in them at all. It's just the storyline, and we live for the drama. And speaking of drama, Karan, and speaking of things that are difficult to make sense of via the conventional route of looking for sense through the soccer sense meter, we now train our sights onto the chaos that is Serie A. So you reminded me of something that I had mentioned when we went to watch Rogue One together, I think about a decade ago.
Yep. I believe I think it was in Delhi, if I'm not mistaken, or Bangalore.
on a winter evening in Delhi, where we were discussing the movie afterwards, and I'd said that it's Star Wars, so it works best when there is absolute chaos and wars happening, and that is when the good stuff comes up. Times of peace, we don't get great Star Wars content. Similarly, Serie A seems to be on a similar vein that the best content seems to come out when there is absolute chaos. And right now, there is absolute chaos at the top of the table, at the middle of the table, for the Champions League spots and the relegation spots. And some of it has spilled over to Serie A B, a storyline that we covered in the last week. And we have
And
to
Serie
cover
C.
again because it involves the Serie C. So, Karan, let's begin right from the top. Let's talk about the famous title run that is going down to the wire. Inter and Napoli, of course, fighting it out. Strange week for both teams. Napoli just holding on to that lead still. But talk us through, because both teams drew this week. But talk us through both their matches, because in an amazing coincidence, or maybe not, all four managers in games involving Inter and Napoli got shown the red card, or rather got sent off this week, which means obviously the final week they're not going to be with their teams. But take us through that, Karan, the sequence of events of what happened in the game with Napoli, and then what happened in the game with Inter.
Okay, I'll try. So anyways, to start with, at halftime,
This
Inter leading.
is like explaining the Matrix all over again.
Well, trying to explain the Matrix when you're really high. I think that's what it sounds more like. But anyways, so at halftime, Inter were leading Lazio 1-0 and Parma and Napoli were nil-nil, right? And then as we cross the 70-minute mark, that's where all hell breaks loose. Lazio equalize, making it 1-1 in the 72nd minute. In the 80th minute, Inter take the lead again. It's take a 2-1 lead. 88th minute, Inzaghi gets sent off. 90th minute, Lazio get a penalty, who then equalize. In the 91st minute, in the other game, Conte gets sent off. In the 96th minute, in the other game, Napoli get a penalty. Meanwhile, in the 99th minute, Inter has a goal disallowed for offside. And in the 100th minute, that penalty that Napoli received in the 96th minute is overturned. So basically, Parma and Napoli end nil-nil. Inter and Lazio end 2-2. Both teams end with no manager, or rather, all four teams end with no managers. So this is basically just what happened in the top of the table.
I mean, it's Italy, Karan, and it's Europe. So, and summer's coming. So, management taking mass leave, as summer sets in, is nothing new. But it's rather astonishing, like you pointed out, that there were five different managers sent off this weekend in the Serie A, which is again like things you don't sentences you don't say about other leagues.
No, we don't. We don't. And what did you say about AC Milan and Roma last in the last episode? About the AC Milan fans being banned or something like that? Well,
Yeah.
guess what? AC Milan returned to Rome and their manager gets sent off.
Of course, in the middle of it all was our favorite manager, Claudio Ranieri, caught up in
I mean,
this
he was just
chaos.
catching strays, unfortunately.
So as far as Ranieri's Roma go, they doing their best to try and keep pace with Juventus in the race for the Champions League spots. They're just 1 point below Juventus, so Juventus need to probably win their last game to make sure that Roma are not able to overtake them. And the same sort of goes for Lazio, which brings us to the bottom of the table, Karan. And if you could just quickly talk about the relegation battle that has suddenly turned very interesting, because in the last episode we were talking about how we wanted all the vacation spots to remain in the Serie A.
Well,
One of
one of
those
them,
vacation spots has slipped out.
one of those vacation spots is currently undergoing a major recession, and tourism is really hit. So basically, Venezia, who were the team that was safe in the last episode that we did, ended up losing to Cagliari, which is not unexpected. However, unfortunately for them, it was a perfect storm where Empoli beat Monza, already relegated Monza, which to some extent you could still understand. But then Lecce beat mid-table Torino. So Venezia have basically dropped down to 19th from 17th, and Lecce and Empoli are now tied on 31 points. And it goes down to the wire, and we will discuss more in terms of what happens in the relegation spot when we discuss what happens with the Champions League spot as well,
So
because they're kind of related.
in effect, Venezia no longer have their destiny in their own hands, because even if they win out, the other two teams could win their games and they could still be relegated. Of course, one
In
of
fact,
those.
I would say the team that is playing, sorry, not Chievo, but they will be playing Verona, who are in and around them at the table, which also means more pressure on them.
So and which brings you also to how this is related to the Champions League race, because Juventus are involved, and Juventus need to win that game, but I think the for the relegation for the relegation bit,
Well,
they need to let.
let's just probably discuss how the Champions League works then. Champions League spot works. And with the Milan and Bologna losing, I think they're pretty much out of it. Bologna, in fact, themselves making a real mess of it in their own right, conceding an 84th minute goal to Fiorentina in a 3-2 loss. So there's madness in its own way. But then when it comes down to it, now it's down to three teams: Juventus, Roma, and Lazio, who are all separated by just 2 points. Now, the reason why I said this is related to the relegation battle is because on the final day, Venezia are hosting Juventus, Torino are hosting Roma, and Lazio are at home to Lecce. So it comes down to what happens between what Venezia are able to do against Juventus or what Lecce are able to do against Lazio. And like I said, now this makes it that much more, that puts that much more pressure on Empoli, who are actually playing Verona now, because they are going to be expected to beat Verona, whereas you can't really say the same for Venezia and Lecce at this point.
All right.
But
And
then again, the way Juventus have been playing, I wouldn't be surprised if Venezia actually pull it off.
so it would be rather amazing. And even if Venezia pull it off, like we discussed, that the other teams can still win out. And I mean, both missions can successfully fail in the sense that Juventus don't make it to the Champions League, and Venezia still get relegated. So it's very interesting, which brings us, of course, if Venezia do get relegated, they're going to go into Serie B, which is where our next interesting storyline comes out of. And this one is straight out of a Martin Scorsese movie, Karan. Because the last week we were lamenting the fact that Sampdoria, for the first time in their history, are going to be relegated to Serie C because they were already had dropped enough points to be perfectly rooted in the relegation zone in Serie B. But there was a twist in the tape. So would you like to bring up what just happened?
I'm trying to still figure it out over here. So basically, from what I understand, four teams usually get relegated from Serie B down to Serie C. The bottom three get relegated directly, and the 17th place team will also join them unless the gap between them and the 16th place team is 4 points or less. Go figure.
So I think there is what you would call a play out sort of a
Pretty
situation
much, and in
in.
that situation, there's going to be a play out. So now what's basically happened is that Sampdoria, who were pretty much relegated and resigned to Serie C and had basically started planning for Serie C, now suddenly get a lifeline because Brescia, who are in 15th position, are going to be sanctioned and deducted, I believe, 4 points, which drops them down into the relegation spot, and all the teams then move up a spot, which means Sampdoria now move up to 17th, and Salernitana move up to 16th, and Frosinone are going to be happy because they are safe, and that play out is going to be between Salernitana and Sampdoria. So
Yeah,
Sampdoria
because
have the biggest possible lifeline you could ever ask for. This
because
is
either way
literally.
the whatever way the game goes, I think the difference is not going to be more than 5 points or 5 points, which is why the play out, of course.
Yes. So it's
And
literally like about not even five. It's literally like 2 points or
two
3 points
points.
difference. Yeah. So this is literally like all those old Hindi movies where the hero's lying in bed with the ER machine literally going blank, and then suddenly he hears the sound of his mom singing or something, and then he comes back to life.
So, and let's talk about Brescia for a second as well, Karan, because this was an administrative offense.
Yes.
I mean, basically, there was quote unquote irregularities on
Wage payments
rather
in February.
wage payments apparently in February. And this was thanks to Massimo Cellino, who's the owner, who again, trivia for everybody, used to be one of the former owners of Leeds United during the
Well, there
go-go
you go.
days.
There you go.
During the go-go days of Leeds United, if you remember.
Well, and we remember how those days turned out.
So I know that listeners can't obviously see it, but I think we're going to put that photo as our a display photo for this episode, because there is an absolutely epic photo that has been doing the rounds with this story of Cellino smoking a cigarette, looking like a straight out shady character from a Martin Scorsese film. And by straight out shady character, I mean Martin Scorsese films always have characters along the spectrum, and everybody is gray and nobody is really black and white. But this guy just looks like somebody who has been put there to carry out accounting shenanigans, Karan.
Or maybe complete a hit. No, but then the crazy thing is, I don't think it's been confirmed yet because it's still under discussion.
there is arbitration and discussion going on, so we'll only know Thursday. But in the
Oof.
meantime, I hope anybody who's listening to this is listening to this before Thursday for the suspense to continue. And I think we will do another episode on Friday, Karan, to bring not the review of the Europa League final,
Oh no, we have enough madness already.
but just to talk about what happened at this hearing, and ultimately who gets to go to Serie C, and who gets to stay in Serie B. So yes, that is Italian football for you. Does not make sense, which is exactly why we have a Soccer Sense episode dedicated to it, because it's just mostly 20 minutes of us saying, this happened, but it does not make sense.
Oh boy. Well, I mean, let's face it, anytime Italian football is in crisis or in chaos, the national team tend to do well, don't they?
So this might be that year. We have been counting on a lot of things, including a new pope, to push them onto something. Of course, as long-time listeners of this podcast know, there is a small matter of the Italian national team qualifying for these national tournaments in the first place,
I mean,
before anything
if they can't qualify for even this expanded tournament, then I don't know what to
else. Well, it is Italy, Karan, and as we have just discussed over the last 20 minutes or so.
you.
Almost anything can happen. I mean, between our last episode and this, the number of developments that have taken place, I don't think there have been like a couple of Game of Thrones episodes between which that many changes and
Oh, boy.
that much drama has taken place. And of course, we will bring you the rest of this next week, just to make it a trifecta of Serie A episodes. We will see you right through till the end. Oh, however, this very, very dramatic opera hits its final notes in the next week. In the meantime, listen to us wherever you listen. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
It's a serie.
And we shall be back with that next week.